Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for our segment with Steve Kerr, which is brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since I got a chance to talk to you, but it's always good to hear your voice. And I got to ask you, we were talking a lot about James Wiseman and, you know, how you guys are developing him and how, you know, he's playing in the G League and he got called up and he got 5 minutes the other night. And I'm just kind of wondering, is there like diversity of opinions within your guys' walls and within the organization on how to develop James Wiseman? I mean, are there people that have differing opinions on how you guys should best do this?
Well, I mean, there's different opinions that turn into one strategy, you know. But I think the dominant thought is that he just needs to play. He needs to see the game unfold in front of him at both ends, and see it over and over again. And so he needs reps. He's going to get a lot more reps in Santa Cruz. So this is, definitely unanimous in our organization and the people who are making these decisions that this is the right way to go.
Based only on the Santa Cruz games that you've seen, are you seeing the things you're looking for on a consistent basis? And I'm not going to guess, well, when are you going to bring him back or anything like that? Are you seeing the progress that you expected to see when you sent him down?
But you have to understand, it's been a few weeks, I guess. And when you're talking about gaining experience, at the level that we want him to gain it, it's not something that's going to happen in a handful of games. And one of the great things about Santa Cruz is that they generally only play a couple games a week. So it's more like the college situation where you're getting three or four really good practices in and, you know, hands-on training day in and day out, and then a couple of games. So, you know, whereas in the NBA, it's, you know, we're hardly ever practicing. It's, we're reviewing stuff on tape. You know, we're doing walkthroughs, but very few live practices because we have a game every other night. So this is something that makes sense, but it doesn't happen overnight.
I love watching Kevon Looney. I didn't think he could emerge into this kind of player when I saw him come out of UCLA. I just didn't know that he could get up and down the floor and stay healthy. But without James's presence, Looney's averaging 23 minutes a game, the most of his career. I'm just kind of wondering if you guys and your staff feel that minute allotment is sustainable for Loon, you know, for the whole year.
Yeah, I mean, we talk to our performance staff every day about that, and they feel really confident that Loon is healthy and moving well and feeling well. There may come a time in the season, you know, where we have to, tell him he's got to take a night off, which he doesn't want to do, and I don't blame him. You know, he takes great pride in being ready and available for us every single night. And I remember as a player, I once had a streak, I think, of four straight years playing all 82 games, and it was kind of the thing I was most proud of. And so Loon is of that mindset, especially because he missed a lot of time early in his career. He wants to play every single night, and the great thing is he's gotten his body and his health to a point where he's been able to do that, you know, all of last year and so far all of this year. So it's we're really happy for him, but you know, at some point we may have to step in and say, all right, just take a night off and if you need it.
Is that going to be an easy conversation, or are you expecting a bit of an argument?
Oh yeah, huge argument. some guys were like, you know, you're just at the point where, you know, there's no point of arguing. You know, Draymond missed half the year last year with the back injury. If he's banged up, you know, then it's irresponsible for us to let him talk us into, you know, having him play. But it's the ones that are, you know, like Loon's been really healthy and he feels good and he wants to play. So those are the ones where, you know, you're going to have a really tough argument on your hand.
Steve Kerr with us on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back to Wednesday night. You might not want to go back to Wednesday night.
No.
Yeah, let's not go back to Wednesday night. But, you know, we're watching on TV, Steve, and like, okay, so we're watching, and then the game's over. We get a little wrap-up from Fitz and Kalena, and then it's on to Bonte and the post-game show. What we don't see is what happens behind the scenes in your locker room. To like, could you paint that picture? I mean, you run off the floor, you lose 124, 123. Do the coaches and players all stay in the same room? Are you guys in different rooms? Is there a lot of complaining? Is there discontent? Is that a good time to have dialogue? Do you want separation there? A 15-minute cooling off period? Paint us that picture of how you guys regroup, let's say, after a rough end like that.
No, it's a great question, Larry, just because, you know, it's such an emotional loss. It's such a brutal loss. I mean, I think probably the worst ending we've had, you know, since I've been coach. I mean, I said after the game to the media, there's usually one game a year like this where you can't even believe what just happened. And I think that's the truth. But of all of those in my time here, that was the worst one. And so in Utah, the coach's locker room is like 75 yards away from the player's locker room. So, you know, we have our time away from each other. I come in and address the team, you know, probably 5 minutes after the game ends. So, you know, I don't want to leave them sitting there because they're dead silent in the locker room. They're stunned. And so I just, you know, I went in there and just told them what I just told you. There's one game a year that this happens, and it's the worst, and you don't sleep, and you're up all night, and you can't believe what happened. But you have to learn from it. And as long as you learn from it and it doesn't happen, especially, you know, in a playoff game, then, you know, then it's okay. Like but you have to learn from it. And I think there was plenty to learn from that game. Then at that point, you know, I go to the coach's locker room and scream and yell and throw stuff against the wall and you know, vent my frustration.
And when do you come down from that frustration? How long did it take you to put it away?
Oh, you know, it took a while. That's the worst one we've had, and it's a good hour long. You know, just, you've got to be kidding me. How did that happen? You know, then you want to immediately go to the tape to review everything, which you do on the plane, and then you're sort of hashing it out with the coaches. You know, what could we have done differently? And in the end, you know, what we did today, we had yesterday off, but what we did today was we had a film session and we showed those key plays, you know. And like I said, you know, last year we lost a game to Indiana when we left a three-point shooter at the buzzer up three. And we learned from that. We never did it again. You know, in the playoffs, it didn't happen, but you know, it happened, and so we learned from it, and we've got to learn from it this time. That's why we showed everything today, and I'm going to trust that the guys are going to, you know, take care of everything down the stretch next time we're in a similar position.
Kuminga looked really good Wednesday night. I was so excited on draft night than when you guys drafted him. I felt like he was one of the better players in the draft, and whatever reason he fell to you guys, and I was just so excited. And he's got just a skill set physically that's just almost unmatched in the league, and his defense lately has been really, really good. And you kind of pointed out earlier this week that he's kind of learned how to defend without fouling, and that's such a hard line, I'm sure, to kind of impart to a young guy, Steve. But how have you guys developed him in that area? How do you help him become a great defender, a dogged defender, but also not cross that line and pile up fouls and send guys to the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really does take a village, you know, to use that expression. I think it's appropriate here. We've got an incredible staff. We have great players on our team who are wonderful mentors for our younger guys. Andre Iguodala has done an incredible job with JK and our, you know, our individual coaches who have really worked hard with him. You know, Anthony Vereen, Jacob Rubin, you know, they're with him every single day, going over tape, talking with him. We try to sit down together, JK and I do, you know, once a week or so, and maybe look at some tape or just discuss what's happening. And what I like about what's going on right now is his play has matched his approach. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think early in the season he was really frustrated, and the last month, rather than being frustrated, he's just sort of absorbing the lessons and applying the lessons, and now he's seeing the results, and it's like, okay, now the process is really working, because instead of being frustrated, he's just more coachable now, because he's growing and he's seeing the pictures and he's understanding what we're trying to teach him. And JK's a great young guy, a great kid, and but very little experience. And so all of this is, you know, there's so much to absorb playing in NBA games. You got to know every single opponent. You know, you've got to know their tendencies. You've got to understand why you're doing something, why you're not doing something. And it doesn't just happen overnight. So it's just exciting to see it turning for him in such a natural progression, where he's, you know, his focus and his training and everything is improving, and so is his play, because that's how it should work.
Can you walk us through, to the extent that you can, when you have the epiphany on Kuminga? Was there a moment where he did something on the floor that you've been talking to him about, and all of a sudden he not only did it, but he did it in such a way that sort of convinced you that he did it instinctively and understood what he was doing and why he was doing it and when he was doing it?
I don't think there was one moment, but there was a game a couple of weeks ago where I think he played 14 minutes and was 0 for 0 from the field, but he was great defensively. And I said to him after the game in front of the team, I said, JK, you're great tonight. Did a great job. And he sort of looked at me like, I know exactly what he's thinking. Like, I didn't even take a shot, you know. but he had been great. He was great defensively. And then we go on the road, and we go to Minnesota and Dallas, and he guards Luka. Had some big plays in Minnesota as well, and he continues that play, and really has a good stretch, and then all of a sudden breaks through on the scoring front in Utah the other night. So it's been a stretch of, I don't know, 7-8 games where things have really come together. But it felt like it started to click when he realized he could be praised and really impactful without taking a shot. That's when he realized, all right, if I just play defense, a lot of good stuff can happen.
You guys get the Celtics, and I caught them the other night, and wow, I mean, they're really rolling right now. I mean, they're scoring 120 a game. Tatum's having a great year. You guys probably, your coaching staff have sat down and kind of studied them probably in advance of this game. What are they looking like to you? How do they look different from the team that you saw in the finals?
Well, they are playing at a really high level. I think the addition of Malcolm Brogdon was enormous for them. He's such a good player, and he's a perfect fit for them because he's a pass-first point guard who can make a shot, who can get to the rim, really good defensively because of how physically strong he is. And he's, you know, he's just a vet. He's a grown-up. He knows how to win. And adding him to the mix, and, you know, with Tatum playing the way he is and Brown, you know, Marcus Smart's always been, you know, one of the best defenders in the league. They just have a ton of continuity, and they're hungry. You know, they lost in the finals last year, so they're hungry and got a lot to play for. This is a team that has been, I think, to the conference finals four times, you know, in the last 6 years or so. So they've been knocking on the door for a while, and this is definitely their best team. And they're by far the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to watch it. And then on your side of things, how is your team? I mean, obviously the personnel's different, but how are you guys different from that team that we saw in June?
Well, I think what's exciting for us is we know our ceiling is much higher than where we are right now. The reason we're not there is because we're a different team. You know, we brought back our core guys, but our bench and our, you know, new free agents are all new. You know, the guys were playing, you know, regular minutes off the bench. So those guys were not here last year. And so we're still adapting. Our young players are growing, but still need work. And I think where we're going to be 2-3 months from now is going to be, you know, way further ahead than where we are right now. So, you know, the good thing for us is nobody's running away with the West. So while we are, you know, kind of treading water here and trying to find our way, we're still right in the thick of everything. And my gut is that if we stay healthy, this team has a chance to be really good. But it's gonna take some more time. We just, you know, we just need more time to put it together, and I'm excited about that process.
How much will you viscerally hate this road trip?
Like, define viscerally.
Where, like, you just think about it and you just want to throw up.
Anything in particular about this upcoming road trip that you think I should viscerally hate?
Well, I mean, the two back-to-backs don't look very much fun.
Yeah. No.
I mean, just being on the road for essentially 9 days. I mean, I'm not even talking about the quality of the opponent or what you're trying to accomplish in those days. Just the idea of being back east for 8 days and cramming 6 games into it.
Yeah, and really good opponents too. So it's not going to be easy. But you know, the other way to look at it is you're getting these games, you know, out of the way relatively early in the season. And while we're in a little bit of a tough stretch and you know, not playing at our best and you know, Wiggs is banged up and Steph and Draymond missed last game, all that stuff, we know that we're still built for the stretch run in the playoffs, and our goal is to be at our best by then. So, you know, we'll be okay. This could be a rough stretch. We'll try to go out on the road and you know, get as many games as we can. But I like where we're heading. I like our energy. I like where our players, you know, how our players are connecting with one another, how we're working, and how much better we can get. I think there's a lot of good stuff coming.
And more importantly, and this might be the most important question you get this time, did you watch the World Cup games today, and what'd you think?
Well, it was poor timing for us because I saw the morning match until about the 80th minute, and then we had our coaches meeting. But we missed all of the, it was 0-0 when I, you know, when I left my office to go to our coaches meeting. Didn't see any of what followed. And then we were in practice during the second one, the Netherlands and Argentina. And I went to do my media, and it was 2-1 in the 90th minute. I thought, all right, well, that's it. And then by the time I was done with the damn media, they're always getting in the way, those guys.
They're the worst.
They're the worst.
Damn media.
It was 2-2. So I missed. I did get to see the shootout, the penalty kick shootout, which is, by the way, just so painful for the losing side. So brutal. Ugh. Exciting stuff, though.
Did you give any thought to blowing off the coaches' meeting and let them do it themselves?
Yes, 100%. But did not. Ultimately decided I should probably go because I am the head coach.
Steve, how outraged would NBA fans be if the NBA Finals ended in a free throw shooting contest?
Yeah, can you imagine? I'd feel pretty good about it, though. We got Steph Clark, yeah. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, you guys are well-positioned. Hey, you know, a buddy of mine worked for the Raiders for years, and he told me the story about Al Davis and sitting around in the war room on draft day, and Al went to one of his lieutenants and said, hey, what do you think of this player? And the guy looked around the room, looked at Al, and said, Al, I want what you want. And basically passed. I'm kind of wondering, you know, you got coaches, you got assistant coaches, you got scouts, you got personnel guys, you got assistants to these guys. You got a lot of people, a lot of manpower in the organization. Who's the most independent voice in the building? And then how do you know that, you know, that you're getting your assistants' real opinions and that they're not just sucking up to you or Bob or Joe?
Yeah, so you're talking about in our coaches meeting?
Yeah, coaches or scouts. I mean, you know, if Joe says, hey, I want player X, I mean, what do you think, yeah. Scout, you know, assistant scout? I like player X, too. I mean, you know, who's truly independent? Is there a guy in the organization that you just know? It doesn't matter if he goes against you or Bob or Joe, but you're getting his honest and independent opinion no matter what.
Draymond.
Well, I'll be honest. We got a lot of those guys.
A lot of independent thinkers. That's good.
Yes, yes. And I will stick with our coaching staff because you know, those are the guys I'm with every day, and you know, I'm asking them what they think all the time, and you know, we've got some very you know, strong-minded, strong-willed people on our coaching staff, and I like that. I want people with conviction. And you know, Ron Adams has always, you know, been really forthright with his opinions, and he's been fantastic. You know, as a confidant for me, you know, now that he's in more of an advisory role, I love hearing his conviction. And. And Kenny Atkinson, you know, very, very, you know, forthright with his opinions. Decky, Dejan, our Serbian coach, they all are wonderful because they offer their direct opinion. And ultimately, when I make whatever decision it is, then they move forward. Like they accept it and they embrace it and we move on and we go. And that's the way it should be.
Do you have any thoughts on Brittany Griner above and beyond just being happy that she's home?
In terms of, like, the political part of it, or...
Wherever you want to go with it.
Not really. I'm just thrilled that she's home. I mean, the overriding thought throughout this whole thing has just been... I mean, can you imagine going through what she's been through? And so I'm not that interested in the debate about, you know, the swap and the politics of it. I'm just happy she's home, and I'm happy for her family, and just can't imagine the trauma that she has been through.
Great stuff, Steve. Just one business thing on the way out the door. Any update on Wiggins and the adductor injury? They'd said that he wasn't going to go Saturday. How's he recovering from that? When do you guys expect to see him on this trip?
Yeah, he didn't practice with us today, but he got a court workout with one of our assistant coaches, and I talked to him. He said he's feeling better. But, yeah, he won't play tomorrow, and we're expecting him to go on the trip and hopefully play, but you know, early in the trip. But it'll be kind of a day-to-day thing.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for your time. Good to talk to you.
All right. You too, Larry. All right. We'll see you, Ray.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.